symbols of authority. You need not judge the magistrate for whom the road is cleared to be any happier than yourself, whom his officer pushes from the road. If you would wield a command that is profitable to yourself and injurious to nobody, clear your own faults out of the way. There are many who set fire to cities, who storm garrisons that have remained impregnable for generations and safe for numerous ages, who raise mounds as high as the walls they are besieging, who, with battering rams and engines, shatter towers that have been reared to a wondrous height. There are many who can send their columns ahead and press destructively upon the rear of the foe, who can reach the great sea dripping with the blood of nations. But even these men, before they could conquer their foe, were conquered by their own greed. No one withstood their attack, but they themselves could not withstand desire for power and the impulse to cruelty. At the time when they seemed to be hounding others, they were themselves being hounded. Alexander was hounded into misfortune and dispatched to unknown countries by a mad desire to lay waste other men's territory. Do you believe that the man was in his senses who could begin by devastating Greece, the land where he received his education? One who snatched away the dearest guerdon of each nation, bidding Spartans be slaves, and Athenians hold their tongues. Not content with the ruin of all the states which Philip had either conquered or bribed into bondage, he overthrew various commonwealths in various places and carried his weapons all over the world. His cruelty was tired, but it never ceased. Like a wild beast that tears to pieces more than its hunger demands. Already he has joined many kingdoms into one kingdom. Already Greeks and Persians fear the same Lord. Already nations Darius had left free submit to the yoke. Yet he passes beyond the ocean and the sun, deeming it shame that he should shift his course of victory from the paths which Hercules and Bacchus had trod. He threatens violence to nature herself. He does not wish to go, but he cannot stay. He is like a weight that falls headlong, its course ending only when it lies motionless. It was not virtue or reason which persuaded Gnaeus Pompeius to take part in foreign and civil warfare. It was his mad craving for unreal glory. Now he attacked Spain and the faction of Sertorius. Now he fared forth to enchain the pirates and subdue the seas. These were merely excuses and pretexts for extending his power. What drew him into Africa, into the north, against Mithridates, into Armenia and all the corners of Asia? Assuredly, it was his boundless desire to grow bigger, for only in his own eyes was he not great enough. And what impelled Gaius Caesar to the combined ruin of himself and of the state? renown, self-seeking, and the setting no limit to preeminence over all other men. He could not allow a single person to outrank him, although the state allowed two men to stand at its head. Do you think that Gaius Marius, who was once consul, he received this office on one occasion and stole it on all the others, courted all his perils by the inspiration of virtue when he was slaughtering the Teutons and the Cimbri and pursuing Jugurtha through the wilds of Africa? Marius commanded armies. Ambition, Marius. When such men as these were disturbing the world, they were themselves disturbed, like cyclones that whirl together what they have seized, but which are first whirled themselves, and can, for this reason, rush on with all the greater force, having no control over themselves. Hence, after causing such destruction to others, they feel in their own body the ruinous force which has enabled them to cause havoc to many. You need never believe that a man can become happy through the unhappiness of another. We must unravel all such cases as are forced before our eyes and crammed into our ears. We must clear out our hearts, for they are full of evil talk. Virtue must be conducted into the place these have seized, a kind of virtue which may root out falsehood and doctrines which contravene the truth, or may sunder us from the throng in which we put too great trust, and may restore us to the possession of sound opinions. For this is wisdom, a return to nature, and a restoration to the condition from which man's errors have driven us. It is a great part of health to have forsaken the counselors of madness, and to have fled far from a companionship that is mutually baneful. That you may know the truth of my remark, see how